Well, Lord, we just thank you for another great night tonight, Lord. We know it's great because you're with us and you're guiding us and you're speaking through us, Lord, and we praise you for that. Lord, we ask and we pray, Lord, that you work in everybody's heart to participate tonight with whatever subject that you want us to talk about, Lord. And I thank you for everybody here. I asked, Lord, for your anointing on everyone here. Fill us up, Lord. Let's start a little revival right here. No, let's start a big revival right here in Jesus' name. And I praise you for it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for bringing down, for emptying that swamp up there in Washington, D.C. I thank you, Lord, for draining that thing out. It looks to me like you're doing what you said we needed to do, and that was to pray that you would drain it, and you're doing it. And it's looking awesome. And we thank you, Father, that your protection is upon the Trump and the Trump family and the cabinet up there. We thank you, Lord, for rooting out all of the enemy up there in the whole government. And we praise you for all you're doing, Lord. And we ask and we pray, Lord, that you mature us. You help us to get rid of the flesh. You help us to get rid of the world out of our life. Matter of fact, Lord, we just give it all to you and let you do the whole thing, because we have the faith to believe that you're doing it, Lord. And that's all it takes, is us, our faith. And you know, Lord, you even give us the faith to get rid of this sin in our life, get rid of the idols out of our life, to get rid of all of the things that have hindered our walk, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you're doing that, and you're making us ready for this great revival that's coming ahead. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right. Has anybody got anything they'd like to pray about? I want to pray something, if y'all would believe with me, okay? Tomorrow, 45 years ago, my wife and I were married. And I just want to pray. Lord, I ask and I pray, Lord, that you bless Jeanette. Bless her with a mighty wave of your spirit, Lord. A cleansing power of your spirit, Lord. A healing power of your spirit through her life, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that you give her a mighty dream that would turn her and show her, Lord, that you're the one in charge, not her. And I thank you, Father, for it. And bless her, Lord. And bless me, too, with her coming to here, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Y'all believe that with me? I believe it. Amen. I do. All right. Thank you. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael.
Hey, Marlon.
Yeah, I got a couple of things I'm going to share, and I'm going to pray for somebody. We went to a couple of funerals this last week. One of them was a 92-year-old guy. We've known him all our life, and it's just really good to see somebody like him still, that there's still people like that. I mean, he shared his faith every place he went, and he tried to, you know, he wasn't a perfect person, but he tried to live his life, not only tell people about it, but he tried to walk it out, and that's, you know, you don't see that very often these days. And so I just thank the Lord for putting somebody like that in our life and for knowing them. And then the other one is my cousin in California passed away. And they shipped his body back here to Nebraska because that's where he was born at. And his sister, she also lived out there. And his sister and her daughter came back for the funeral. And there's kind of a story about her daughter. She lived in Arizona, and she decided she wanted to go to California where her relations were. So she quit her job there and went to California. And at that same time, she found out she had cancer. And of course, she didn't have any insurance because she quit her job. And so she ended up having to sell her house and sell her car, and she didn't have any money. And she was another person just like the other guy I was talking about. I mean, she just shared openly about how the Lord provided all her needs. When she needed money, somebody would send her money, and she needed care and needed to put to live. The Lord provided for all of her needs. And she's got stage 4 cancer now, and she really went through a lot of hard times. Last fall, she had an operation. I think she was operated on for 13 hours. Had done 5 operations at one time, and they needed to do more, but she couldn't, her body couldn't take that anymore. But to see her, you would know she had cancer. I expected her to be all run down and thin and, not look good, but she looked really good, and she just had a really good spirit, and I'd just like to pray for her. Father, we just put our faith together for Kim. We just come against that spirit of cancer. We just command that spirit of cancer to go from her body in Jesus' name. We curse you, cancer. You have to go. She's not under the curse. And we just ask, Lord, that you continue to give her faith to believe for her healing and believe that cancer is going to be gone. And send your ministering angels to minister to her. And we thank you, Lord, that that cancer is going to be gone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. And we command that spirit of the fear of cancer to go from her too, and the spirit of death to go in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that that woman is healed completely, and she's going to go ahead and be ministering your word to everybody she meets in Jesus' name and tell of the glorious healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I believe that, Marlon.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay. Amen, brother. Okay. Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right. All right. Anyone else want to pray? What about a testimony? Or a praise report?
I've got a testimony for you if you got a minute or two.
All right. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, this happened about 3 weeks ago, and I've been struggling, for a long time with I still like to drink, even though after I came to the Lord, and I was struggling with that in my heart and in my spirit, and but at the end of the day, I still wanted to have a drink. And 3 weeks ago, I got up in the morning, and I had a heart-to-heart with God outside, and said, it was time. I wasn't drinking to the point of being drunk, but I'd get home from work, and I decided, a couple of fingers of whiskey on the rocks would taste pretty good, or a couple of beer would be pretty good. I've been struggling with wanting to not do this, and not being able to. It quit a couple of times before, but always came back to drinking it. So I had a heart-to-heart with God, and we decided that he was right and I was wrong, and it was time to quit. And lo and behold, that Thursday night, you had at the very beginning of the outreach, and it was just a momentary thing. You said that you had somebody there in the local fellowship had a vision of a man in flannel being delivered from an idol, having it ripped right out of his chest. And everywhere I go, I'm the guy in flannel. And so when I heard that, I thought, that's what it was. That alcohol was an idol to me. It wasn't, it wasn't something I needed to do. It was just something that I put between me and God. And after hearing that and putting the whole thing together, I was delivered of it big time, and I don't even have desire drink anymore, and it's been a real blessing for me. And I know Ann and Matt were praying for it. Probably they may not have said anything, and I know my wife and kids were praying for me. The old man was a pretty hard guy to argue with, so they probably kept it to themselves. it's been a deliverance, and it's been a real blessing. And I already feel better, and feel like my life's going to last a lot longer because of being delivered from that.
So, amen. So, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, everybody that was praying for me, whether in the spirit or in their prayers, because it wasn't something I could do.
Yeah, well, I didn't know anything about it, but that's okay. He delivered me from that when I got saved 20 years ago. I was a heavy drinker, man. I was, of course, I was a beer drinker. I wasn't much on wheels and that kind of stuff, but I drank beer all the time. What in the world was that? Y'all hear that?
I heard it.
What was it?
I don't know, somebody logging in or what?
I don't know. I thought I turned all that stuff off. But anyway, but he just delivered me from it when I came to the Lord. I didn't desire it. In fact, I didn't want it anymore after that. Praise God. God's good, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Yeah,
like I said, I didn't drink to get drunk after I came to the Lord, but I just, it's still, you know, that sounds pretty good at the end of the day. So I think I deserved one. I worked hard today, that kind of mentality.
Yeah.
You know? And at times I'd find that even before I'd come in the house at night after I got home from work, I'd think, well, just grab one on the way by, you know.
Yeah.
It was an idol. And as soon as I heard that little testimony, that's what it was. And it was gone. So. Praise God.
Yeah, that was Marlene had that. She had a vision. That was a vision. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else? What's happening out there? Is that dam broke yet over in California? I hadn't heard any news on that thing yet.
My wife been following that pretty steady, and she said it hasn't give way yet, but they're supposed to be getting pounded with rain, and like a foot of rain in that area.
Oh my goodness.
Not anymore. I think it's right at the capacity right now.
Yeah. Okay. Praise God. Have they evacuated the people out of there? Does anybody know?
Yeah, she said it's a voluntary evacuation and have your stuff ready to go, but they haven't told them to leave yet.
That's just like the government, isn't it? Good gracious. Yeah. Y'all get ready. You can leave if you want to. Come on, man. Tell them folks to get out of the way.
Yeah, well, they might be standing in faith, you know, that the thing's going to hold. And
maybe so.
Blake and I prayed last week when they were forecasting a great big bunch of rain to hit there. And we wanted to, you know, just stay away from that area. And that night I had Blake bring up the radar on his tablet. And there was just an area going around like you guys have had with your weather.
Yep.
Where the rain was pounding them. But that whole, looked like that whole basin, that whole drainage wasn't getting any.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We heard a prophecy from somebody, it might have been Kim Clement from some time back, that the Lord was going to warn warn the people before the earthquakes, and that this might be it. So I don't know. I don't know. You know, if you have a catastrophe like this, it'll move a lot of people out of the way and out of that area. And maybe that's the Lord's grace. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Anyone else need to pray about something or would like to pray? Or testimony or praise report?
Hey, did anyone hear what the name of that storm is there that's hitting California?
Armageddon? No, I don't know.
Lucifer.
Lucifer. Oh, is that what it is?
That's what they named it.
Uh-oh. That ain't good.
So I'm wondering if maybe that is a prophetic sign to some to, you know, really seek the Lord about getting out of there. I'm
just saying. Yeah. If it's going to dump 5 inches in there or whatever, then it's already full. Something got to give. I don't know. All right, anyone else?
Yeah, it dumped, up to 4 inches at least in parts of Los Angeles. It was really, the roads were flooded. I-5 was all blocked up. People were stuck in their cars and all kinds of problems there.
Oh, my goodness. But if I'm not mistaken, I think Sacramento was down downstream from Orville Dam, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's about maybe an hour south of there, hour and a half or something like that. I'm not exactly sure. Hour and a half from there anyway.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, if that thing breaks and it breaks all at once, that's going to be a pretty good size tsunami going down through there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Lord, we just thank you for getting your chosen people out of there in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to talk about? Anybody get a word? I'll tell you what. I've been looking today at the bride and the man-child. Can anybody tell me the difference between the bride and the man-child? Y'all want to talk about that? I had somebody call me the other day, and we talked about that. He was kind of miscued on which was, you know, what it was which on that and how it all played out. Can anybody tell me what the difference is in the bride and the man child? What the bride is or what the man child is? And we'll try to talk about that tonight.
The man child is sun glory, and the bride is moon glory. So I would assume that the bride is someone who has 60-fold fruit, and the man child would be 100-fold fruit.
Well, that man child is a corporate body, right? He's a yeah. corporate body all over the earth. He's inside the bride. Or the church, okay? He is the first fruits of the full word manifested.
Amen.
He is fully manifested, the word of God, okay? That's who the first fruits man child is. And the bride is the one striving for that. Just to put it, you know, like Andrew was talking about, it could be 60-fold. Got rid of the soul, and now they're getting rid of, you know, mind, will, and emotions. They're getting all of that lined out, and so that's the bride is actually the one is accounted righteous by God because they're doing everything that they know to do to follow Him. They've surrendered all to Him. And the man-child is the one that's fully manifested God, fully manifested, except for the body.
So then thereby, greater works you will do in my name, greater things you will do in my name.
Yep.
Right? Because you have a full understanding who Christ Jesus is and the manifestation from within of our Lord. All right? And so am I understanding that correctly from that context?
But I'm not following you really close there.
Okay.
So,
right. For instance, if you look at the second coming of Christ, spiritually,
yep.
or manifesting within you, mm-hmm. right? The second coming of Christ manifesting within you, then that would be truly what you're saying in the man-child. Therefore, greater things that you would do in my name, you would be in his righteousness perfected, right? Mm-hmm. Comparatively to striving, but still having garments spotted by the flesh.
Yep. You are fully manifested Christ except in the body. Your soul and your spirit are already manifested Christ, okay? Excuse me. And they have that anointing. That's what God's going to give them. They're going to give them, they get the anointing of the latter rain, the man child does. The bride is that small group of people. You remember the story of Esther. And the Shulamite bride is another one. And the Psalm 45 is also part of it. They were special to the king. They were protected by the king. They had special privileges by the king. And then there's the rest of the body of Christ, the virgins, the all the rest of them, or what that was, you know. So that's the rest of the church. And the reason that the bride is special, because she has been getting rid of the flesh. She has been getting rid of the world out of her life, and she is walking by faith before the tribulation. Before the tribulation. And she's a special body. She's a special body to the Lord, because she's already given up a lot for him. And the man-child comes out of that bride before the tribulation and leads her, gets the anointing, and leads the bride into the tribulation. And by that, I mean, he teaches her, you know, and ministers to her. And then there'll be some more, be a second wave, so to speak, of second fruits of the man-child. And they'll be going out as people mature, you know. I'm not real sure, but the first fruits is the one that's going to be walking, talking Jesus on this earth.
You know, and it's important to,
your audio.
It's important. Bear that. Oh, can you guys hear me? I'm sorry, I'm on a different device. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can now.
Okay. It's important to realize what Michael just said is, you know, there's a verse in there, you know, you're, a lot of false doctrine is done out of pride. It's pretty much out of our entitlement, which is we're all one in Christ. But you have to first get to Christ before you're all one in Christ. You don't just accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're one in Christ. Right? He cannot be your joint heir, as he says he will be, until you make him your Lord through his righteousness. So you have to walk in that area. Otherwise, you're going to end up falling. You know, you can't be, if you're one in Christ, if we're all one, then we've made it. We've arrived. There's nothing more to the story. So now, you know, cast out demons, heal the sick. But if they're not doing that, they're not manifesting the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And thereby, you know, these signs, right? Some of the Antichrist, that's what they do. They have a confession with their mouth. A lot of people have a confession with their mouth, but they don't have a profession with their life, right? So thereby know them by their fruits, you know. And then a confession with their mouth is not just simply saying Jesus Christ is Lord. It's everything else in being. You know, because you cannot be born of God. Everything in between. And, you know, 1 John 5:8 tells us, righteous man keeps himself and sins not in the hand of the wicked. What we have to take into captivity. And one way, and I'll just share this real quick, so I'm going to run on the side. One way the Lord was dealing with me was casting in 1 Peter 5:7 tells us that if we cast our cares upon the Lord, he cares for us, right? And that's what we're supposed to do. You know, and I had it messed up. I was always casting my cares upon the Lord by praying. I ain't casting your cares. That's whining, right? We're giving everything to him to help us. But casting your cares, if you think about it, where do you relax? Do you relax? You've had a stressful day, man. It's just been, you've suffered a lot of stuff. Now I'm going to go flip on ESPN. I'm going to drift away. Now I'm going to go read Better Home and Gardens. I'm going to let the Lord handle everything else. Really, what I'm doing is casting my cares there. See, that's my sense of comfort. You know, I've told God about my problem, but I'm not meditating upon his word. You know, so what the Lord started showing me to do, which really brought me peace, was to tell him about it, then pick up his word, right? Read it, and then get lost vicariously within the message. And thereby I've cast my cares upon him, and it's really brought me a lot of with him. So, you know, that's just something that, you know, I just wanted to share with you guys, because it really helped me out, and it's real simple to do. And man, that pull is real strong to sit back, throw your feet up, throw some bonbons, and, you know, watch, you know, Home Improvement, to let go of, you know, that stressful day. But it's a lot easier, and you actually start to build that fire inside when we start picking up the Bible. You know, you got Bible apps on your phone, man. I get upset. I pray about it, you know, it's break time. Throw up the Bible. You know, start reading something. I get his word in me. It distracts me from what's going on, and you know, slowly but surely, I'm building up that faith, that shield of faith, and strengthening that helm of salvation. So that's just something I wanted to bring to the table.
Amen. Let me hang on. That's right. You got to lose that fresh. You know how you can tell if you're doing everything that you know to do with God is when you wake up in the morning. First thing on your mind, is that God, or is it something else? Or like Jeremy said, if something comes up and you get a little slack time, what do? What's the first thing you do, you know? You reach for your word, or you reach for your TV, or you reach for your computer to go to TV Works. Okay, Calvin, I see you now, brother. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just want to get something. Are you talking about the moon? When it says, you know, in Revelation 12:5, the woman is clothed with the sun and the moon is under her feet. Is that what you're talking about?
Talking about for what now? What are you talking about?
In Revelation 12:5, you know, it says the woman is clothed with the sun and the moon is under her feet.
Yeah, she's clothed with the sun. That's the righteousness, right?
Yeah, that's yeah, God's in us.
Yeah, that's sun glory. But yeah,
the moon is the, I was gonna interject, the moon is the quote unquote the religious system. You know, because see, we get birthed from the religious system.
Well, the Lord also speaks about star glory, moon glory, and sun glory. And that's the three phases. That's the 30, 60, and 100-fold, okay? That's the fruit of Jesus that he's talking about. You follow me?
Well, I got the interpretation that was the sons of God.
What was? I'm sorry. I'm
the stars. The stars.
The stars was what now?
The sons of God.
That's the when it talks about the stars, it's talking about with the star and the moon and the sun glory. It's talking about the 30-fold Christian, and as you see. In Revelation, it talks about the stars falling. Well, that's the ones that don't have that 30-fold, but they're still saved at one point. But then they got deluded, they got deceived, and didn't get stay in the Word. Whatever reason, they didn't stay in the Word, and they fell. But the star glory is the 30-fold glory. There's going to be some out of that, you know, go to heaven. There's going to be some in the moon glory is the, let's see, David puts it one way. He says the star glory is your salvation experience, okay? That's your salvation when your spirit gets saved. Your moon glory is as the soul gets saved, salvation for the soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. You start lining those up with the Word of God. And then the sun glory is when you have manifested complete perfection through Christ. That make sense?
Yeah.
And as far as the church, the star glory could be the church out there, you know, the ones that have received Christ as their Savior. But they hadn't done anything with a whole lot with it yet. Some won't go any further than that. And if that's the case, then those are the ones that's going to be fallen. The stars that you see in Revelation are fallen. That's going to be those. But the ones who go on to moon glory, those are the ones going to go on up to, you know, to heaven. And not to say that there won't be some stars going to to heaven too, because you know you got people getting killed after they come to Christ. Matter of fact, we had a deal here a couple of 2-3 years ago of a man that got saved 15 minutes before he died. You know, that was awesome. He called David and he was dying at the time. His wife called David and he got saved before he died. But anyway, I know I didn't explain it real good. We'll go over that again here in a little bit. But I hope that helps you out, Calvin.
Yeah, a lot.
Anybody else?
Can a person who's been saved lose their salvation?
Absolutely. It talks about I think it's in Romans 9. It talks about the branches being broken off.
Oh, yeah, it says that everywhere.
Yeah, that's all through the Word.
I was trained wrong.
What's that?
I was trained improperly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of
church. Once saved, always saved. I don't believe that anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's in most of the denominations, you know, believe it or not, that's in most of them. I know the Baptists have that, but there's also most of the other ones believe that too. Once you come to Jesus, you shake the pastor's hand, you put a buck in the plate every Sunday, and you're sold, man. You're in. You ain't got nothing. Ain't nothing else. That's it. You're gone. You're out of here.
It's like fire insurance.
Do what?
Like fire insurance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's like fire insurance. And but there's too many scriptures in the Word of God that tells you that there is a condition to your salvation. There's a condition to your salvation. There's things that you have to do. I know that the denominations come up, well, that's works. Well, it's the works of God that does it. It's not you. It's not anything that you do. All you got to do is have faith. And the Lord gives you that faith. But you do have to believe it, and you do have to act on it. There's a condition in there. Everywhere you see if in the New Testament, that's a condition when he's talking about salvation.
Yeah, read Romans 1. And it starts out to the brethren, and it ends with all them in sin. Right? So they're going to have to repent for that. If they don't, they're already brethren in Romans 1 when it starts out. That's who it's addressed to. And at the end, it tells them how you're turned over to a reprobate mind. That you are one, not that you are reprobate. You're turned over that way. And here's all the sin that you bring into your life.
Yep. You know, there's a lot of people that believes that doctrine of once saved, always saved. That's going to take the mark because they've been taught that there's, you know, that they can do whatever they want to, sin as much as they want to, and still be saved. I've heard them talk about it, and it's just craziness. It's dangerous, and that's why the Lord tells us to renew our mind with the Word of God. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling and read the Word of God, he says, and don't allow any man to teach you, only the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, then you're going to be okay. There's a lot of doctrines out there that's going to send people to hell, a lot of them. Pre-tribulation rapture is going to send a lot of people to hell. That once saved, always saved, going to send a lot of people to hell. And God is love. He's not going to send anybody to hell. He's going to send a lot of people to hell.
You know, it's funny because my son had a band and he called it Better Left Behind.
What? Better Left Behind?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was making fun of the idea.
Yep.
They were going to be raptured out and wouldn't have to endure the tribulation.
Yeah. Well, the tribulation, God has set up tribulation to get the attention of these apostate churches out there and to get the Christians' minds and eyes back on Jesus. That's exactly what it's designed for. And God tells us that, you know. If you look at the history back in when every time that the Israelis messed up in the Old Testament, what happened? They got the army defeated them. Back into captivity they went, and until they started crying out to God, right? And then when they cried out to God, God sent somebody along, set them free. And they was back instead with God. But then they'd fall away again. Same thing over and over and over. And the same thing has happened in our day. We've got a bunch of apostate preachers out there, a bunch of wolves in sheep's clothing, teaching false doctrine, like once saved, always saved, pre-tribulation rapture, unconditional eternal love and all of that garbage. And it's just it's God's, it's this tribulation is coming up there to show them who's the true shepherds. And those preachers that's been preaching that gospel are going to take off. They're going to cut and run when the first sign of danger hits. And you're going to be left out there holding your Bible and wondering what happened. And the Lord's going to say, well, I'm what happened. Now get your eyes on me. And that's what it's for.
What's going to happen to the prosperity gospel? That's a rhetorical question.
Same thing. He's going to take them down. He's going to take them down in a mighty way.
It's going to be disillusioned, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, the prosperity doctrine is stealing money from God's people. It's prostituting God's people is what it is. And it's stealing money for the preacher. Who gets the money? That preacher gets the money, for goodness sake.
Got a preacher here in Springfield who has tours of his mansion every year.
Okay. I'll tell you something. He ought to be taking that money and spending it on the poor folks and the orphans, like the word says.
Well, you're right. But on the other hand, I got to get my own house in order.
Yep. We all need, you know, that's what God's teaching all of us right now, Kelly. He's teaching us all to get your eyes on him. Repent every time you see something in the Word of God that goes against what you have learned, and get rid of it, change, and go on the way that God wants you to go. That's what he's telling us here. He's telling us to get the idols out, just like Tim was talking about earlier. Get the idols out of your life, and unforgiveness will kill you. If there's any unforgiveness in your life, you need to get rid of that. That takes people out quicker than anything. In my experience, people who get cancer are bitter about something. They have unforgiveness in their life or, you know, whatever. But unforgiveness is a big one, and not getting in the Word, not finding out for yourself what the Word says. It's hard to mess up when you got the Word here in your heart. It's hard to mess up. Go ahead, Jeremy.
I just want to add to that real quick, because I do have chicken strips right there that I waited, I kid you not, 45 minutes for them to make. It's supposed to be fast food.
Is that an idol? I'm just asking.
No, it's not. Idle hungry. So, all right. So, unforgiveness, right? You're talking about that, and let me tell you something what the church does. And this is, it's so important what Michael just said about how you have to know the Word, right? Because the doctrines out there tell you if you're offended, you're not, that's not Christ-like. There's no condemnation in Christ. Are you offended? You're taking this personal. See, all that right there tells you you're not right with Christ. None of it is true, and it hurts you inside. So you have a hard time. You wrestle with that inside, thinking that you're not righteous with the Lord because they hurt you. But see, Jesus teaches something different. He said, if they come to you and they offend you, forgive them 77 times, but they got to repent, right? If they come to you and repent, forgive them. But see, that other doctrine says, forgive them for they know not what they do. When they know what they're doing, rebuke them, right? That if you don't rebuke them, they're in your way. You're not going to be able, you're going to be bound up, you know, and you're going to be cast into prison. You can't agree with your adversary quickly. Right. So he's going to turn you over to the magistrate. The magistrate is going to give you to the officer. The officer is going to throw you in prison. You ain't going to get out till every last mite, farthing, penny has been paid. You have to forgive every little thing they've done. And it is hard to do it at that point because they're just going to keep hitting you with offenses and offenses. Right. So it's important to understand you have to have that Word inside you. That Word's not there. You'll receive all of that and think that you're wrong. Right. And you're not wrong. You know, because look at the, if you're offended for righteousness, you're not wrong. You know, if you're offended for a personal offense, it's our duty as Christians to apologize. That's what sin is, right? If they're sinning and transgressing against us, we're to say something to them first privately, then bring other people and think on a receiver, we're supposed to reject them. But if we continue staying on, it's only going to hurt us, right? It's not going to allow us to grow and progress in Christ, right? That's spiritual abuse. You heard that term church hurt, right? that happens. And it goes both ways. It goes from the congregation and the pastors too, you know? So it's religion, discipleship, right, is a real personal thing. It's really subjective, you know? And so since you were talking about conviction earlier on, I'm probably not here, but if it goes against your conviction, that's between you and the Lord. You know, he's got to teach you at that point, you know, because you can't depend on somebody else's righteousness to lead you. And that, isn't that what that happens, though? When you go to church, you're looking at the Nicolaitan, you're looking at one guy, and he's the epitome of righteousness. And then you pay him for it, right? He passes that tray around, you pay him for it. His message is never going to offend you because you support him. So he's not preaching Jesus because the gospel came to offend. So he's not preaching Jesus. So what's he really preaching? He's preaching that feel-good message. And you can see, he's an entrepreneur. You can literally see it manifest in certain churches that become, you know, worldwide because everybody has itching ears. They want to hear that feel-good message. And, you know, broad is the way that leads to destruction. So if you really love him, he'll open up your eyes. If you seek him with all your heart, he'll pull you somewhere. If you're Catholic, if you're Mormon, if you're Jehovah's Witness, it don't matter. It's like a net, you know. He'll pull you out of all that, and you'll start to get that intimate relationship with him that you so earnestly desire. You know, you supersede what's in front of you, what's in your way. Hey, can I share something with you guys real quick before just like a video?
Let me just ask you a question. Explain what you're talking about, righteous indignation.
Okay. If you have the Word of God within you, right, mm-hmm. and somebody's not righteous, in other words, you're not to judge. You're supposed to judge one another, right? But when you find something that doesn't click right to you, then you have to take it to them. If they're not going to receive it, then you know if they're going to continue to offend you, then that would be unrighteous, right? You can get upset. Look at Jesus; he got upset, right? That doctrine tells you that if you get upset, it's your fault. But Jesus got upset all the time, right? You know, he rebuked the Pharisees; he called them hypocrites with an exclamation point. When he was in the temple, he was mad at the money changers. He flipped over the tables. He made a whip and chased them out. If you believe that, you know, he did all that calmly and methodically, you got another thing coming. You know, he was upset about that at that point. He even told Peter, "You're an offense to me." Right? So that doctrine right there, it tells you that you just have to take everything and they'll tread over you. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, the violent take it by force. So that really explains it.
Jesus was doing, he was trying to protect the people. They were prostituting the people again. Okay, it wasn't a personal thing for him. Okay, it wasn't personal one on one with you. Like I get offended what you say sometime. If I get offended because of something you said, then that's me. That's my problem. You see what I'm saying? If that anger rises up in me, that's unforgiveness already. And so if I allow that to continue on, I'm going to be thinking bad thoughts about Jeremy, and I'm going to tell Tim, I'm going to say, Tim, you know what Jeremy did? You know, faction. And that starts division. And then that's not good. That's not good. You were right in saying that I should go to Jeremy and say, Jeremy, I got kind of offended there, and I want you to apologize to you, but could you clarify this, whatever it was, you know, that kind of thing there. Unforgiveness toward a brother is not allowed unless there's a moral sin there. Even doctrine. You can talk to a brother about doctrine, and if they're not where you are right now, that's fine, you know. You just give them what you got and go on. You don't have to worry about it. But, yeah, you're right there as far as prostituting the church and they're coming against God's people. You have a right to go in there and judge them. You do. Okay. Did that? I hope I clarified something there because I was kind of hitting on some edges there. All right, Jeremy, go ahead.
Yeah, I thought this was really cool, and we don't generally play a lot of videos in here, and it's a skit that was done like in 2001 or something that somebody threw up on YouTube. Let me find this real quick, and I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it really kind of dictates, it's just a quick play, let's see if I can find it, that I thought, again, It's really cool. I wanted to share it with you guys last time. And then, you know, would you know it? I didn't bookmark it right off the bat. So up here and get that going. Okay, got that. And now I got to share computer sound. Give me one moment. No. All right. Let's see. Share computer sound. We should be good. Tell me if you guys can hear this.
I'm not afraid to
That was good.
You know, it's a struggle, man. It really is. When you see that stuff, and that's exactly what happens. You know, the devil seduces us with everything in the world, and it's a fight to get back.
Yeah, it is. Awesome.
All right, guys. Bless you all.
All right, you too. Go eat your fish sticks or whatever it is you're eating.
What was the name of that again?
Love, I think.
It's Lifehouse. It's called, hold on, let me look here real quick.
I saw that before, a long time ago.
Yeah, it's called Everything. It's called Lifehouse Dry. Here, I'll put the link in the chat.
Okay, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, no problem. That's cool, though, isn't it? And it almost it stirs up those emotions, especially if you've dealt with any of that in your own personal life, man, because you're just so thankful about what he pulled you from.
Amen.
Yeah, I like sending that to my daughter to see. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Uh-huh. Bless you guys.
All right, bless you. I want to share something with you too, if I can. Has anybody got anything they want to talk about right now? That was awesome. Okay, I want to share a song with you, and I always like this song. It's by Paul Wilbur. If I can figure this out. All right, listen to this. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute, y'all. I got to fix this first. Ah, there it is. Okay, I'm sorry about that. I imagine the audio wasn't that good, but hang on. I got it now.
If the Lord is God, then serve him. But if the Baals are God, then serve them. But make up your mind. And 1 Kings 18 records a very sad line. The people answered him, not a word. And so Elijah said, this is what we're going to do. You hundreds of prophets of the Baals, you set up your altar, present your offering, but put no fire under it. I'll do the same. And the God who answers by fire, let him be God. And so all day long, from morning until night, they set up their altar. They prepared the offering. They sang and danced and they shouted. They cut themselves with stones and they bled their blood into the earth. But still no fire from heaven. And so about the time of the third offering, Elijah, the prophet of God, he took 12 stones and he rebuilt the altar. He placed wood on it, he prepared the offering and laid it on top of the wood. Then he called for a great amount of water to be poured upon the offering. And a second time, and a third time, until the water soaked the offering, the wood, the stones, and filled a great ditch that surrounded the altar of the Lord. And then he lifted up his hands toward heaven. And he said these words, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Let it be known today that you alone are God in all the land. And fire fell from heaven. And it consumed the offering, and it consumed the wood and the stones, and it licked up the great amount of water that had filled the ditch. And the people fell on their faces, and they declared, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Stand with me tonight, and let's declare it together.
Of Isaac and Israel, let it be known today that you are God. We offer up our lives as a living sacrifice. Purify us with your holy fire. We surrender to your sovereign will, O Lord God of Abraham.
Yes, Lord.
O God of Abraham, of Isaac and Israel, let it be known today that you are God. There is no other one like you. Come now and fill this place. Be exalted in our praise. And let it be known today that you are God. You are God. You are the Holy One. We surrender to your sovereign will. Oh, Lord God of Abraham. Oh, Lord God of Abraham.
How'd y'all like it? And nobody jumping up and dancing, are they? I tell you what, reason I played it is because of the first part of it. When he talks about Elijah and he talks about, now can you imagine this guy sitting out there talking to all those 400 priests of Baal and, he had faith, and that's what I was getting at. He had faith to believe that God was going to back him up. And he had buckets of water, barrels of water poured around that altar. And he knew it didn't make any difference how many barrels he poured out there. God could get it. God was going to lick it up with the tongues of fire. But what was interesting was his faith to believe that God was going to do it. He was just a man, okay? He wasn't anything special, but he knew God. And he knew that God was going to do, to back him up what he said, because he was going to glorify God through this. And that's exactly what happened. God came down in a mighty way, and it's in the Bible now. And that's what we're going to see in the days ahead. There's going to be a record in heaven of the things that are going to be done. You're going to see things. You may see things like that, where God does unimaginable things to show his glory to people so that they would fall down and worship him. And that's what happened with Elijah. He was true. He was trusting God. His faith and his trust in God brought God to the altar. And he licked up all that water and sucked up that sacrifice. And the people hit their knees, didn't they? And I get when I see that particular one, I always think about Elijah. I said, man. What happened to him? You remember what happened to him after that, don't you? he run from Jezebel. He went and hid out in Jezebel, you know. He got scared after he went out in front of all of those 400 preachers out there and then got scared of Jezebel. I don't know what happened to him, but he got fear in him. He got fear. Jezebel told him, I'm going to take your head off, boy. But we don't need to be scared. If we've seen God do one miracle, we know he's going to do the rest of them. And I tell you, it's an awesome, awesome time ahead of us. I can't imagine what God's going to do, but we've had some great, dreams about what he's going to do. I just got back from Australia the other day, being translated there. It's an awesome trip, I'm told. One of the ladies had a dream that I had just got back from Australia, and she had just got back from saving a bunch of people and from an earthquake. They were fixing to step off in holes here and holes there, and she, in the name of Jesus, she tell them to get behind her, and then she brought them to Tennessee, translated them to Tennessee, God did. And she got back, and she saw me there, and I told her I just got back from Australia in a dream now. And she said, well, where is everybody? And I told her, I said, well, they're all sent out. And that's what God's that's going to be awesome, guys. That's going to be awesome. You know, and girls, I'm telling you, it's going to be awesome. He's going to use women and men to go get people in danger. I believe that, too. I believe you may be seeing God do a miracle like he did with Elijah, too. And Elisha, he had one with Sandy walking on water. She said, it was a tsunami came in. A tsunami came in the dream. And she just walked right on up the wave like it wasn't even there. Walked up on top of it, got up on top of the wave and walked across. God's showing us these things for a reason. So it would build our faith up, encourage us to believe that we're going to do anything. If you're faithful to him, he's going to be definitely faithful to you and us. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to talk about here? We got a close-up of Obadiah. Hey, buddy. He's grinning. Hey, Calvin, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, Mike, you know, I know faithful God is looking for faithfulness, but you know what? Most of all, he's looking for people to be right. And like I told, I was mentioning to my pastor, you know, because he was building me up to say I was faithful. And I said, you know, more than ever, I don't want to be faithful. I want to be right. Because, you know, the religious quote unquote organization, you know, they're faithful, but they're faithful at doing the wrong thing. And I want to be faithful in God's word. No, I want to be right. You know, so it's you know, that religious, you know, the religious jargon there, that's how they get their tentacles in you. First, you know, they pat you on the back and say, oh, you're faithful. You know, and then they start heaping all these burdens on you. And you know, if you don't do them, then they say, well, you know, you're not faithful. And then you're looking at it like, well, you know, six in one hand and half a dozen in the other. But, you know, God don't play that. You know, he just tells you, you know, this is my, you know, this is my covenant. You know, this is the way, you know, to righteousness. Walk ye in it. He don't put all these burdens on you and, you know, gives you all these attaboys and accolades and, you know, just pumps you up and then says, well, you're not faithful no more. You're not giving. So we got to stick to God's word.
What did he say was the main thing? He said obedience is better than sacrifice, didn't he? He wants us obedient to the word. He wants us to do what the word says. And yes. Praise God. That's right. Not what the pastor says, but what the word says. Praise God. Amen. I'll tell you what, most of the time, well, I'd say 99% of the time, if you go with the word rather than what the pastor says, you'll be leaving that church. I'm not talking about you, Calvin. I'm talking about anybody. Yes. Most of us, most people that are in the true church right now have gone through the denominational churches at least once or twice, you know, and they found out that they were in error because they did read the word. They did put the word first. And when you put the word first, you're going to leave them behind and they're going to still be down there struggling. You're going to be up there, singing hallelujahs with Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah.
All
that's
right.
Why I love.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Oh, that's why I love Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. And, you know, I mean, it's just like John 3:16. But this is for the mature people. And, you know, That's what separates the men from the boys.
Amen. John 3:16. Let's go there.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Let's go to 15 first. They don't ever hit you at 15. They always start at 16. That whosoever believeth may in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him, what? Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. What happens when you believeth on him? You walk in his steps, don't you? You try to walk in your steps. You don't try to take one scripture and take it out of context and make your own doctrine. You make sure that this is the doctrine you have. He that believeth on him is not judged. He that believeth not hath been judged already. You know, when you don't believe that God heals, when you don't believe that God delivers, you're already under judgment, aren't you? You're at the mercy of the doctors. You're at the mercy of the psychiatrist. Amen. He hath been judged already because he has not believed on the name. What is the name? Nature, character, and authority of Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. What is evil? What's he talking about there? Well, it's because they didn't have faith to believe God. They didn't have faith to believe what the Word of God said in their promises, in the promises of God. There's too much wrong doctrine out there in the world. Of course, we don't need to be worried with that. We just need to worry about our own salvation, don't we? Them people there got their own problems. The only thing we need to worry about is where we are with Jesus. If we're right with Jesus, we don't have anything to worry about.
Yeah.
And you know what happens to me when something bad happens to me? First thing I look at, well, what do I do? Because it has to be me. It there's two things that happens to Christians when something bad happens to them. It's either God correcting you, or it's a test of your faith. What you going to do in that circumstance? And most of the time, that's what it is. It's a test of your faith, what you going to do in that circumstance. And that's why I like that Sovereignty of God book that David wrote, because that Sovereignty of God explains who God is in the universe and what happens around us. Why do these things happen to me like this? Well, it's because God's trying to get your attention. You know, he's on the throne. He ain't going nowhere. He orchestrates everything around us. And when those circumstances come up, he's just going to check you out, see how you're going to act. That circumstance come up and somebody gets in your face, what you going to do? You know? You're going to get back in their face, or you're going to do what the Word says, turn the other cheek. That's where that unforgiveness comes in all the time. Hey, Matthew, y'all have a good time out there eating all them hot dogs?
Man, you missed a good one.
I figured that.
No, they had pretty good. Everybody came out.
Y'all have a lot of people over?
Yeah, it was the Oars were there, the Brasses were there, the Saps were there.
Awesome. Well, you had a bunch if the Saps was there. Awesome. Okay. Good deal. What'd y'all do with David?
All hung around the fire. The kids played a soccer game and then started playing horses, so.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I'm glad y'all had a good time while I sit over here and starve to death. I don't want to make you feel bad, brother. No, I didn't. Me and Kevin had fish sticks. All right. Anybody want to talk about something? Anybody got any questions or anything?
Yeah, Michael, I don't have a question. I'm just going to add something. You said those two things. Either God is testing our faith or he wants us to we've done something wrong. I think there's really a third thing. You know, sometimes we haven't our heart hasn't changed. We haven't necessarily done anything wrong, but God wants to change our heart, and sometimes we'll go through a trial because of that.
Okay. All right, we can do that. Yeah, God wants to get our attention. Amen. All right, Calvin, go ahead, brother. Go ahead, Calvin.
Like what I was talking about yesterday about the difference between motivation and concept. And see, we have the right motivation, but you know what? Our concept is kind of, you know, skirmish, you know what I mean? Because we've been polluted by so much doctrine, so much of this, so much of that, so much perversion. And so our concept has to be tweaked out. And seeing that's where, if your concept is right about God's word, your motivation is going to fall right in. It's just like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? And see, you know, once my concept got, you know, got fixed on the word, my motivation was no problem, because I had a struggle because my motivation was good, but my concept was tweaked out. But now my concept is God's pulling me in, and you know what? My motivation is just, it's all right. But see, a lot of people, you know, they think, well, they get these heavy burdens, you know, well, I must not be faithful, you know, because the church is telling me that. So their concept is in a hairy canary. But once it gets lined up with the word of God, you know, God is the only one that we, you know, that we need to, you know, seek after. That's why I love Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. And that means deliverance, healing, whatever I need. It's gonna be according to what God wants. And if he wants, you know, to live is Christ, to die is gain. So I'm on a winning team.
Amen. So what's the standard that a Christian walks by?
Well, it depends. I mean, if his concept is right, it's God's word. If the concept is wrong, they're always going to have struggles. That's why I love Matthew 6:33, because there it sums it up.
Well, no, you answered it. You answered it there. It's the word of God. That's our standard. It makes no difference what other things are out there. The standard for every Christian should be the word of God. It says in 2 Peter 1:20-21, it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation, for no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. So that's what we look at. This Bible is the standard that we all should live by. And knowing that, see, that's where the apostate Christians, so-called apostate Christians, sometimes fail. They tell you that they believe every word in the Bible, but they don't believe every word in the Bible. Every scripture is inspired of God. And if you know anything about numerics, you know that the word of God is a living testimony to God's genius in creating the Bible. And David talks about it in Sovereign God, that the divine inspiration of Scripture can be proven scientifically. And that he talks about Ivan Panin and the Numeric Bible, because Ivan Panin was had three PhDs in philosophy, mathematics, and English, and he was from Russia, and he was brought over here, and he taught mathematics at Harvard. A lot of you know this, some of you may not. And this is back years ago. And somebody challenged him to read the Word of God. So he read and he was also a Greek scholar, and a Hebrew scholar. And he knew that the Greek alphabet and the Hebrew alphabet also had numbers, that they used the alphabet for numbers as well. And he was reading the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he noticed a numeric pattern there, just in that one sentence, in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 1. He said, he found out that the number of Hebrew words in this verse is exactly 7. And the number of letters in the 7 words is exactly 28, or 4 times 7. And then the first 3 of these 7 Hebrew words contain the subject and predicate of the sentence. And these 3 words were translated, "In the beginning God created." And the number of letters in these first 3 Hebrew words is exactly 14, or 2 times 7. And he noticed that, and I'm just going to stop right there. He noticed that he devoted the next 50 years of his life studying the Word of God and finding out how the Word of God, if that was the way it was all the way through it. And he wrote the numeric Bible, New Testament, in Greek, and then he translated it into English. And that is the most accurate Bible you can get. And what he said was kind of disconcerting to a lot of religious people, because what he said was that the ASV, the Authorized Standard Version Bible, was by all standards the most accurate published Bible on the market. He said the difference in it and perfection is just like dust on the glass, you know. That's the way he put it. But he's saying that the ASV was the most. So what reason I'm saying this is because it can be scientifically proven that the Word of God is inspired by God, because no man can write a paragraph to do what he found that God had done in the New Testament. Now, this is all the way through, from Genesis through Revelation, this numeric pattern all the way through the Bible. And to do that, I don't remember how many people wrote the Bible. Does anybody know how many wrote the Bible? But it was over 4,000 years. Go ahead, Marlon. It was over 4,000 years, and ever how many other people that could do it. So they were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write exactly what the Holy Spirit told them to write. And that's why the Bible is so accurate nowadays, and it can be proven. Matter of fact, back in the 40s, he put out a $10,000 reward for anybody that could disprove the Bible and disprove his numerics, and nobody ever took it. So that's, you know, and to be honest with you, these King James only people, anybody can get saved reading any Bible. Don't get me wrong. If that's your favorite, don't worry about it. God can use it too. But the King James is not the most accurate Bible. It's actually one of the more error prone, because it's a copy of a copy off of a copy. And if you look at the front of the page on that, it tells you how many editions that they had on that thing. So it's been edited numerous times throughout the years and re-edited because they found mistakes in it. So to say that the King James is the most perfect Bible is nonsense. Anybody got anything you'd like to share on that or ask? Go ahead, Calvin.
You know, when the pre-trib came out?
Uh-oh.
You know, it only came out in 1830, you know, in the 1800s. And before then, what did they believe in?
I assume they believed in the post-trib rapture.
Exactly. And then, you know, they said, well, just believe it, you know, believe in the Trinity.
Yeah.
I'm not just going to believe in something that I can't, you know, that God's saying. That's what, you know, got me started in this kingdom message.
Yeah. Well, that pre-tribulation sells a lot of books and movies, doesn't it?
Yeah, like Left Behind. And
yep.
Now they're going to come out with the Shaft.
With the what?
This book called The Shaft. It's fictional, but they're making it like it's real.
What's that about?
Oh, that's about, you know, how God, you know, how God has emotions and how he feels, and like it's the word of God. I mean, I know the difference. You know the difference, but people out there, they just take it, you know, for what it's, you know, this saith the Lord. And they don't say, you know, this is a fictional book, just like Left Behind. But if you corner them, they'll say it's a fictional book. Just like with these denominations.
Okay. How you doing, Willie? All right, brother. Andrew, you got anything you want to add?
About what?
Huh?
About what?
I don't care.
Well, you know, my daughter came over with her boyfriend, and they actually made me a birthday dinner. And I sort of tried to change the conversation over towards the Bible. And of course, he says, well, yeah, I like Proverbs 3, you know, and then I finally found someone that I could talk to, you know, and then I said, oh, you mean the one with mercy and truth? And he said, yeah, those are the cords that are supposed to be around your neck. And he goes like this. Of course, my daughter thought we were going to go into a big conversation, so I stopped it. But you know, and it was just nice to know that he actually, and I found out later from my daughter that he does study the Bible quite a bit. So I'm happy with this person that my daughter is seeing, and I just would like to hold him up in prayer. Lord, I hold Zachary and before you, and I pray, Lord, that you would continue to draw him ever closer to you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that he also have an open mind and to really study the Word and to start his life with the Word every day. And hopefully this will rub off also on my daughter too. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anybody else? Well, we're just getting a wealth of information tonight. Jackie, how you doing, girl?
I couldn't find the mute button. I'm doing a lot of trials with my family, just trying to hold fast. It seems like it's getting worse and better, but I'm just hanging in there. By God's grace, only.
Spot right there, will you?
He is. I'm petting him.
Oh, okay.
Wait.
Hey, Spot. Hey, Spot.
Hi, Michael.
Bark.
Spot.
Roll over. Play dead. You got to do some more training there, Jackie.
He can give kisses, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I see. Old Dalmatians.
Obviously.
All right. Well, Lord, we just thank you that you're going to bring Jackie through these trials. You've built her up. You've encouraged her, and you've given her faith to believe that the trials aren't anything, because she trusts you, Lord. And she's just going to ride that trust out with you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, amen. Do you ever feel, you probably don't, but I felt, if I can get into a deep rest, with a lot of things going on, sometimes I feel a little guilty, because then I'm thinking, well, geez, I'm not like, over praying it or overly concerned, or, and then I've come to just learn, I guess that's the enemy just trying to lie to me.
Absolutely. That's that demon up there trying to get you out of that rest, ain't it? That's what it is.
Really at rest.
He don't want you in that rest. He wants you to get anxiety. He wants you to get stressed out. He wants you to, so he can come on in there and mess with you, you see? But if you're in that deep rest like you're talking about, you can just tell him, say, look, I ain't putting up with this. You get on out of here.
Sometimes I feel a little guilty, though, because it seems like the world's just crashing around me and my family. Anyway.
It's not crashing around you. That's what the enemy wants you to think, so you get your mind off of Jesus. But if you got your mind on Jesus, you're in the rest. Praise God. That's good, girl. Just embrace it. Amen. The world can praise fall. Him. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, that you can look and see, and you look around, and man, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, you know. And but you got your eyes on Jesus, and you see Jesus up there grinning at you, because he is. He's saying, "Look, there's my gal. She's believing that I'm and trusting in me. Praise God. That's where he wants us. That's exactly where he wants you, in that rest."
It's a nice feeling, too.
You get out of that rest. You know what happens when you get out of that rest. I've seen you out the rest. I've been out the rest. It ain't fun, is it?
No.
It's not any fun. Amen.
Yeah, you've picked me up a couple of times when I've been way out of the rest.
Yeah.
Over these many years.
You know, if we would just remember that God's got these angels around us for one thing, and that's to minister to us and to do God's bidding around us, you know. And they're just waiting on us. So if you're in the rest and you rebuke something, he just flicks that demon right off of you, and he's got to go, you know. Just something to think about.
I'm learning to trust in the Lord and just trust, you know, just trust and not let go.
Yeah, not waver.
Amen, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Amen. Yeah, I like to get in that rest myself. When I see all hell breaking loose around me, I just go get in my word. Me and the Lord. I said, okay, Lord, that's what's got to happen, you know. And it just puts me in that rest. I don't have to worry about it anymore. You know, you get these phone calls, don't you, Jackie? You get these phone calls, it's going to happen, that's what's happening, and everything is, looks like by the natural eye that is going crazy. And you can stress out over it. You can get anxious about it. You get mad about it. You can do all of those things if you want to. Or you can say, well, let's just pray. And when you pray, the next day, you wonder why you got all stressed out. Because it wasn't as big a deal as you thought it was going to be. And that's what I've learned over the years, is just trust God. It works for me now. It works for me. Praise God. I know sometimes... Go ahead, Jackie.
I'm sorry. That's what he's teaching me, to just trust in the Lord.
Amen. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, amen.
Oh, I remember Jackie. My goodness, she called years ago. I'm not talking about now, but I'm talking about years ago. She'd called, and well, bless her heart, she'd be all stressed out. And I said, well, let's just pray. And we'd pray, and then she'd be okay. And now she's learning to do it on her own. And,
yeah, you get much less phone calls over the years.
Well, it's gotten, you're learning, and God's encouraging with that rest. That's so awesome. That's so awesome. Praise God.
And that's what he's been teaching me, to just quiet my soul and just be led by him, you know, just yeah. Wait. And even the other day I had a question and a word. And you actually taught on it the other night. It was in Jeremiah. Is it 31?
Yep.
Well,
all up. It was all up in the 30s. I taught on.
Yeah, and that was the one verse. And I was questioning the Lord, and I thought, well, I'll just wait until you show me. And then here, like a couple nights later, you taught on it.
So, well, praise God.
I thought that's what he's been telling me. Just be quiet. Why did he feel, and just let me lead, you know, just let me lead you, and, you know, just, you might not have to get the answer, like, right then when I want it, just wait, and he's going to give it to me, and he did.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, Chad, how's it going up in where you are, bud?
The world around us, we're doing
the world around you is what?
Regardless of the world around us, we're doing great.
Amen.
It's shaking up here, and it's good. Lord said it was going to happen, and we're just letting him do his good purifying work in us. So,
are y'all still getting protests up there?
Oh yeah, that's kind of an ongoing thing.
Really?
You know, they're
going over, storming over to the mayor's house.
Storming over to the mayor's house, you know, showing up on his front yard, and just all kinds of different goofy stuff.
Well,
you know why they're doing that, huh? Oh, okay. Just about little things. I guess he didn't take care of the homeless situation like he said he would, or intimated he would, or whatever, and there are a lot of homeless people, you know, up in this area, and so I guess they expect him to, you know, put them all up or something. I'm not sure what they're thinking, but.
My goodness.
I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
Nothing. I was just talking on you. I was just laughing.
Okay. So, anyway, yeah, there's lots of stuff going on. So, yeah.
Okay.
But God's got it going on.
Amen. He does. You know something? I think I showed it to y'all the other day. Is that map? Those two maps that's on the website. One of the election results with the red and the blue, and then the other one was the map of the 2013 crime areas. Almost exactly the same as the Democrat counties that was elected, that went for Hillary, is where all the crime is. That's amazing. That ought to be on every night on somebody's news channel on TV. But you won't see it. You won't see it. All right, anybody else got something?
Go ahead. I was wondering, have you heard or seen anything about Trump's wife saying the Lord's Prayer in front of a group of people?
Yep, she did that in Melbourne, Florida. She said the Lord's Prayer there. She sure did. That's the first time I've seen that in, gosh, decades.
Yeah, we've heard from some people, but we haven't actually seen it on any place ourselves.
Yeah, that was in Melbourne, Florida. Just go on YouTube and type in Melania Trump's opening prayer at Melbourne, Florida, and it'll show up. It's awesome. Now, the mainstream news media, they made fun of her and all that kind of stuff. That's their job. But anyway, go ahead, Jackie.
I saw Trump today on an interview, and he was really stressed and disheveled. And usually when he was on, you know, TV as an actor and things like that, and like the reality show, like perfected. And even when he was running for president during the campaign, he looked that way. But I was going to ask if you could maybe pray for him, because it just seemed like when I saw the interview today, he just looked really stressed out, and it just didn't look like himself. And I know he has got so much coming against him.
Yeah, it's a constant battle with him, with the people coming against him. Yes, Lord, we just thank you for sending your angels to minister to President Trump, Lord. And Lord, we just ask, I know he doesn't get a whole lot of sleep at night. He's made that comment more than once, that he doesn't sleep a whole lot. But, Lord, I ask that you, whatever sleep that he gets, Lord, is a restful sleep, and that it would recharge his body supernaturally. And, Father, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to give him clarity of thought, give him supernatural discernment and supernatural wisdom, Father. We ask that in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for your protection that will round it about him, Lord, that your protection is can't be penetrated by the enemy in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it, Lord. I heard something today. I don't know if y'all have or not, but I heard that they have uncovered, the FBI has uncovered a Muslim spy ring that takes out 24 of the top level Democrats, a spy ring that, they have been using a Muslim IT specialist and his family since 2004, and that they have handled all the top secret computers for these people. And what happened was that the guy that's the Republican, Thomas Ford, I believe was his name, got a request from the Democrats to allow top secret information to be handled, you know, to give them access to that top secret information. So he took it to the FBI, and Comey, the FBI director, this was back in 2016, March of 2016, and he didn't do what other FBI directors did. He didn't show it to Obama or any of his people. He did this kind of quietly, and that's unprecedented in itself. They're not supposed to do that. They're supposed to take it to the president, but he didn't. And he kept it up until 2 days after Trump came in, and he told Trump about it. And it looks like the Department of Justice, after Jeff Sessions got in there, is fixing to issue, they're debating whether or not to issue these arrest warrants for these top Democrats. Bill and Hillary Clinton was named in there as well. I don't know what the thinking is, that it may erupt into some protests out there big time. And they you know, I don't know how, what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it looks like some of them's going to bite the dust. And of course, that's something we've been praying, is that the Lord would drain the swamp up there. And looks like that's what he's doing. Has anybody heard anything about that other than myself? I saw that on whatdoesitmean.com. Whatdoesitmean.com. And that's a Russian, I believe it's a Russian, that's where they get their information, is from the Russian Secret Service. Somebody in there gives them information. So you don't know if it's true or not. We'll just have to wait and see. All right, we're running out of time here. Has anybody got anything they'd like to pray about before we leave? Has anybody got a subject for next Tuesday night? Does anybody want to talk about anything that's on your mind next Tuesday night? I'd like to get some more into the end time stuff. If y'all can think of anything, email me, and we'll talk about it next Tuesday night. More about the bride and the man child, maybe. Lord, we just thank you so much for tonight. We praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in each one of us, Lord. You're getting us ready. You're dropping this old fleshly man off of us, Lord. And we praise you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that you're working a good work in all of us. You're preparing us for this time ahead of us. And we thank you for your protection on us and our families as well, Lord, in these perilous times ahead of us. And we thank you for it, Lord. We ask and we pray, Lord, that you place it in everybody's heart to be praying for one another over these next few days. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. All right. Well, good night, saints. God bless you.
Michael.
Yes.
I was going to ask, can I get prayer? Can I get some prayer?
Well, sure.
Okay. I'm suffering a real bad toothache, actually a couple of them on my top and bottom mouth. And it's really painful, and I really, really, really don't want to go to the dentist.
All right, let's pray. In the name of Jesus, right now, I command the pain in her tooth to go right now in Jesus' name. You leave her, and I command the abscess in it, if there's an abscess in it, to be healed in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that Barbara's tooth is healed and delivered and restored as new in Jesus' name. You believe that, Barbara?
Michael, I'm really trying to believe that. I really, really am. I'm just struggling when I'm in the midst of that pain because it's so intense. Yeah. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I believe you can give me this root canal. You can restore my tooth.
I'm
believing that he will do it for me where I don't have to go to the dentist. I mean, I don't want to go. I don't want to run to Egypt. I haven't been there for a long, long time, and I don't want to go now.
Yep.
And I guess this is very much a trial of my faith because I'm really being tried.
Well, I tell you, I had a toothache here a while back, and I said, Lord, it's yours. I don't do dentists anymore. And the Lord.
Take pain relievers? I mean, I don't never take pain relievers, and this was so bad I had to.
No, I haven't taken a pill in 20 years, so no.
I don't
that.
I don't either.
Okay, but hey, Barbara, let me just say this. You can't try, okay? You either do it or you don't.
I know. Pray for me on that. I'm really strong. I know. I'm being honest. I'm really struggling in this.
I know. Well, Lord, we thank you for giving Barbara great and bold faith to believe, Lord.
Thank you,
Father. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord, for helping me to believe.
Amen. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right. Good night, everybody, and God bless you.